All right, good. I just want to say one thing before we start. If y'all could just, what happened? Too loud? All right, if you're not coming to the Sunday school, you're going to miss out because some good stuff being done, some real good teaching about some things that you need to hear. So it'd be a good thing to come, I think. It's interesting. So Calvin's doing a good job. Like I say, I had to come up with something that I didn't want to have to turn a lot of pages and that kind of thing, because, you know, it's a little different up here when you, y'all don't have a Bible with you, most of you, and that kind of thing, and then I'm going to have to turn here and there. So I decided to look into chapter 2 Peter, chapter 1, is what I'm going to be doing, and I'm just going to try to hold to that chapter. And Peter has a lot of things to be said here that I think can help us very much. You know, anytime you open the Word of God, it has to help you. I'm just going to do a verse at a time, or maybe a couple verses at a time, and expound on those. And I hope and I know that we'll get blessed by these scriptures, because when I went through it, I got to thinking. I said, you know, we need to, have you ever pretend like you was somewhere you wouldn't, or you pretend like, you know, we all been kids acting like we pretend doing things, you know, we used to pretend doing this. But so we're going to do a little pretending this morning. Let's act like we are the first century church. Let's go back to the days of apostles, and you got to get your wrap your mind around that, because you know what, in the days of the apostles, they would be sitting there like you, without a Bible, because they didn't have one. Now, when I say that, they had the Old Testament, but the New Testament was being developed. It hadn't all come together. So I'm using this example for a reason, because first of all, it kind of puts us on the same page as where these people were when Peter talked to them. It would be like this. Are y'all here this morning? One of the brethren came down from Danville last night and rode his donkey and came and brought us a letter from the Apostle Peter. Because these letters would float from one church to another. They didn't, you know, they had to wait till they get that letter to see what the apostle had to say. And that's what this is kind of about, you know. And then they would say, you know, they would be hanging on to the edge of their seat trying to see, what would the apostle say? What did the apostle have to say? Because to them, this was very important, because they didn't hear like we do. They couldn't pick a Bible up, or they couldn't cut the radio on and hear. No, they had to wait until the apostles' letters got to them. And when that happened, they began to say, what did Peter say? What did he say? We want to know. And that's what I'm going to give you today. And that's what we ought to do, is take that kind of interest even now. We ought to be that enthused about hearing what these apostles had to say, you see. I'm going to read this first verse, and it says, this is Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the way we do letters now, when we write, we usually put our name, the person we write into up front, dear so-and-so, and that kind of thing. And we'll sign at the end. But you notice they don't do that with these letters. Simon Peter's name shows up first. And the reason they done that, I believe, is because the authority that was behind that name. Because, you see, these apostles was God's authority because Jesus had died and been buried and raised and gone back to heaven, and he left the authority of this gospel into their hands. And when you saw a letter from Peter or one of the apostles, you knew the authority was there. I hope we see that. I hope when Peter says something, we understand that we could trust it. And I was going to use this illustration too. It's like if, remember when the first century church, and one of the young Christians would say, Peter, oh, I think I've heard about him. And somebody else would have said, oh, yeah, let me tell you about Peter. I was there on the day of Pentecost, and I heard him myself. And he stood up and looked the people right in the eye. The very ones that had Jesus killed and hanging on the cross. And he stood up before those people that done that to Jesus, and he said, let me tell you guys something. Let me tell you people something. You're the lost house of Israel. You've killed the Messiah. I heard Peter say that. And they was upset because of what had happened there. They didn't know what to do because they had already killed the Messiah. But Peter said something else. He told him, he said, look, there's a way out of this. If you believe that he was the Messiah, you believe he was the one who come and died for you, God on earth, and he was put in that tomb and raised from the dead. If you believe that, I'll tell you what you could do. You could repent from their wicked ways and be immersed, baptized into Christ, and raised from the dead. Have your sins washed away and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what, and he said, see, I heard Peter tell him that. And the other guy would say, wow, I wish I could meet Peter. This is the Peter we're talking about right here. You see, he said, to those who have obtained a like precious faith. You know, you and I have the very same faith that these apostles had. And what I mean by that, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The faith is so important, y'all. And we have that faith because this is the faith that stands with the apostles. If you believe what the apostles say. And he said, what did he say about it? He said here, it's a precious faith. Precious faith. We've got to get an understanding of our faith. It's very precious because it cost God's Son. And he said, if you believe that, you believe this gospel, you in a precious place. You have a special faith in the one and only God that can be served to give eternal life. And he said, and you know the sad part about it, many don't see it that way. Many don't see the faith that way. We should be happy about the faith that we set in. And I'm talking about we as the Christians. Because our faith, without faith, we can't please God. Without this faith in Christ, without this faith in the Bible, without this faith in each other, there's no salvation beyond this world. So you and I have a responsibility to see this kind of faith. But it's even greater than that. Watch this. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace. Do you want grace and peace? You find it in the faith. You find it in the faith. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You see, thank God. Let me tell you something. We talked about the early Christians who didn't have this book. It's come down through the centuries, through time, 2,000 years. I hold it in my hand. You hold it in your hand if you got one. 2,000 years, God made sure this book would get into our hands. And yet, sometimes we ignore it. We act as though it's not important. You know, people died for this 2,000 years ago, but now we have it right here. Only God can do that and protect this to come that long, that you and I could have the knowledge of the faith. What about that? Isn't that something? And he went on to say here, though, in verse 4, he said, by which having been given to us, now listen to this, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. You know what God's done for us? Oh, I don't. This is mind-boggling. And this is hard for us, even as Christians, to understand how God. Now, God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. Did he not? Yeah, he did. But Jesus died. And Jesus went back to heaven. Now what are we going to do? Oh, but God didn't leave his comforts. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you know what he's going to do? He's not going to come and walk beside of me. How you doing? I can't find. Where's he at? He's going to come in and dwell within us. You tell somebody, hey, I got God in me. I'm a saint. Go do that and see what happens. Yeah, right. Okay. I see that. I see how you act. I know who you are. You got God in you? Really? You see, because I tell you why it's that way. Because even we don't know, understand it and believe it sometimes. I'll tell you why it's like that. Because we don't see things like God does sometimes. This is how he sees us. This is how we should see ourselves. And he gave us this precious Holy Spirit of God himself. And when I say that, this divine spirit, see, let me give you one verse here. We'll have to make one turn. Let's go over. I'm going to. I know you ain't got a Bible. I got a habit saying that. You go on in. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to show you what we were like before the Holy Spirit come into our life. Okay? I mean before. If you're not a Christian, this is how God sees us. And I mean, this is what God said. It ain't what I'm saying. But I saw that and I said, that's me. At one time it was. But now I see myself different. But let me see. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1, listen. It says, you he made alive. How did he make us alive? We were born again. But before we were born again, watch what happened. And you he made alive who were dead. Wait a minute. I know what he meant. I was spiritually dead. I had no spiritual life in me before I was born again. So, he went on to say, I'm telling you how I was before I was saved. He said, I were dead in trespasses and sins. The sins I had in my life separated me from the Almighty. I don't care how much I prayed to him. I don't care how much I would go to him. I still had this division between us. But in verse 2 said, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Wonder who that is. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's the devil. The influence of the devil had me before I become a Christian. I didn't know it. People don't know it. But what I'm saying, you're walking dead. But, we've got to go back to old Peter now. But when I go back, after we were saved, God's divine spirit comes into our life, the Holy Spirit, and now we are different people. This is how God sees us now. Not because of how good we are, but because he indwells us. He makes us who we are, and this is how he sees us. And Peter's telling these people, he said, do you know who you are here? Let me tell you, So he says, and all of these promises that God has made, he's made to us as Christians. A lot of times people of the world want to claim the promises of God. They can't do it. You got to be a Christian to have the promises of God that he's promised. Now, he's made some promises to the world, but he's made promises to Christians that the world can't accept, can't partake of. But he said that we have escaped the corruptions of the world. In other words, when the world's condemnation, the wrath of God was upon us, and now that the divine spirit has come into life, he lifted off that condemnation. And he sees us different. Peter's trying to tell him here. He said, look, I want you to get a good idea about what God's done for you. I want you to see, really get a grip on what God has done for us as Christians. Because now he's going to lay some responsibility upon us. In verse 5. Because he said, but also for this very reason. What reason? Everything I've just talked about. Because God's done so much for us. He's given us so much and helped us through so many problems and took the sin off and gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Because, see, we don't want to stay where we are. I said that this morning. When you get to where you're comfortable and you think, and we think we know everything already, I never want to get there. I never want to get there. I want to grow. I know Calvin thinks I know a lot. Some of you might. It's probably a drop in the bucket of what I could know. I just got to keep moving forward. We're finding stuff now. Me and Calvin have been digging through some stuff now that we never knew before. We're just learning it. Let me tell you something. You'll never hit the bottom of this book. You study it till you die. You'll never hit bottom. But anyway, the point is, add to your faith. Continue to add to your faith. And he said, add virtue. Virtue is goodness. He's trying to change our mind, change our life, get us more like Jesus. That's the idea. He said, add to your faith virtue. Add virtue to knowledge. More knowledge. Now, knowledge is good. You got to have it, but it's useless if we don't use it. I can know everything in this book if I really could. I don't. But if I don't do nothing with it, what good is it? So he's telling us, add knowledge, add faith. And he went on to say that if I do that, then I add self-control. That's a hard one. Add self-control. We do that by faith. Add more faith, add more self-control into our life. And then add more self-control, add more perseverance. Perseverance is a hard one. We got to persevere on. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Too many people bail out. I'm serious. Too many people bail out. We can't do that. We got to persevere. He expects us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's don't get lazy. Let's get more active. We don't want to be like the lukewarm church, okay? You know what that means? I got a little bit of God, but I don't enough. I'm kind of lukewarm right here in the middle. I don't want to go too far that way. Because I love too much this way. You see what I'm saying? No. The Bible says we need to boil over. Like hot water. Boiling over. More faith. Come on. Let's get it going here. More faith. That's what he's talking about. Because it leads us to a different lifestyle. And the next thing is godliness. We become more like God. Isn't that God's desire? He wants us to become more like Him, think more like Him. And when people see us, we act more like Him in brotherly kindness. You know, if we had some brotherly kindness, we wouldn't have all the divisions we got in churches today. But you know why we don't? It's because we don't have enough faith. We're not building our faith. I was one of those one time. I wrecked a few churches, I think, or helped. I hate to say that, but I'm going to tell you, I've grown from that. You're too important to me to wreck you. I've got to make sure I'm doing my part to get you to heaven. That's right. And you should be doing your part to get me to heaven. If you love me, you will. If I love you, you will. We would do that because that's what God is asking us to do. We are a family. You don't kick your family out. Sometimes you might if they don't act like they should, but you know how hard that is. I'm just saying you and I need to build our faith, and then after we have brotherly love, is the next one. Brotherly love means I got the kind of love God has. We talked about that this morning. You know, I'm going to use Calvin's illustration. Well, it's God, really. You know, before God destroyed the world, the first world, when he told Noah, he said, I'm going to destroy this world. I'm going to do away with it. I'm done with it. But I'm going to give you 120 years of grace to get it straightened out. But they didn't. That's how long God put up with her mess. You know, God's really merciful. He really is. He's put up with my life many a time. I know I don't deserve it. But the love of God is so deep. And he's trying to get us to start thinking and sin the way he does. And that way we'll have more love and more grace and more, you know, we'll have the kind of mind he has to where we'll understand each other better than we do if we don't have the mind of Christ. We won't be so quick to be condemning. We won't be so quick to write people off. He went on to say in verse 8, he said, for if these things, everything I've been talking about, he said, for if these things are yours, in other words, if you're doing these things and abound, keep growing, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. This is what happens. You forget about what God's done, and any of us can do it. We forget about God forgiving us the way he has. We can get real sloppy. In fact, we may not even care anymore. I've seen it happen. But God said, Peter says here to these people, he made it plain to them, you're short-sighted, you better wake up, you're blind, you don't really see yourself for who you are, you've got yourself, you done drifted back. I like that word drift because it's in Hebrew. It says it don't necessarily happen in a moment. I mean, you just don't pack up one day and say, I'm quitting. It don't happen that way. You drift away a little at a time. You drift from your faith. You drift. And when you do that, you don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know it. And he's telling these people here, he said, be careful. And the biggest problem you got, you done forgot what God's done for you. You've done forgot your sins have been forgiven. And maybe it's one of those situations of where you get sloppy because you decide that God's going to forgive you for everything, regardless of how you live. It's called once saved, always saved. You have to be careful. In verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. This is kind of a warning, is what it is. He said, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. You want sureness? You want to be sure. We want to be sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. You know, this is what happens. We have to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to stay in tune with God Almighty, or we will stumble. I assure you that. And I'll tell you another thing. Y'all watch this. Make an illustration. I'm done with that. I'm going to lay that down, and I'm not going to pick it up. I'm not going to read it no more. I got other things to do. I'll guarantee you, you do that, it'll be a matter of time. You're going to drift away. Because you know what? Faith, we're talking about faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. I've seen it, and I hate it because I've challenged myself with that. I found myself wandering one time because I found myself getting weak and shaggy because I kind of laid the old scriptures down. Be careful. Now, the reason this is so important, he tells us in verse 11. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Nobody? Oh, some of you. You want to go right now? Y'all heard that before. In verse 11 says this. He said, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe some don't want to go to heaven. I don't know. Maybe some don't care. But there is an everlasting kingdom. First of all, we're in the kingdom right now, okay? But there's one to come that will never end. This will end when I die. My dwelling in this kingdom is gone. But it's not really gone because I'm going to move on up. Move on up. For those who are faithful, it is an everlasting kingdom awaiting for us. You could bank on it, okay? You could trust it, believe it, with all your heart. Because in 12 through 15 it says, now this is Peter, because let me give you a little background. This letter was written somewhere around 65 A.D. Peter was getting ready for death. Y'all know how Peter died? You might know. Some say it's believed. Some have written about it. He died. He was going to be crucified. And he told them, the people that were going to crucify him, well, hold up. Don't crucify me this way. Turn me upside down. I don't want to die like my Lord. I want to die upside down. They crucified him upside down. But he said, this is why he wrote this letter. He said, for this reason, I will not neglect to remind you, he's reminding the people, always, for these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this life, in this tent, he says, that's the body, as long as he was living, to stir you up by reminding you. And that's what teaching and preaching does. It's supposed to remind us and supposed to stir us up. That word stir means to awaken us. You know, come on now. We get out there in everyday life running here and yonder. We all busy. We all got all kind of things to do. And me too. We all do. We have a tendency to drift in our mind. And we don't have a lot of time for God sometimes. So we come back, and God, in God's wisdom, that's why He brought us together up on the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day, to stir us back up, to get us back into thinking like God again, because our minds drift so easy. And He's telling them, He said, I'm reminding you because I know you need it. And as long as I've got breath in my body, He's saying, I'm going to remind you. Verse 14 said, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after I deceased. And you know what? Praise God. He's still reminding us, and He's gone. If you leave a legacy behind, what do you want to leave behind? What is it you want to leave your children? What is it you want to leave people that know you? Well, I know what I want them to know about me, but they don't know nothing else. I want them to know that I love God, and I do my best to remind them that He's real. Nothing else matters to me other than my wife. I mean, all of y'all are important to him, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, what is your legacy? What are you going to leave behind that people will really remind you of? You see, that's important because that was Peter's heart. He knew he was going to pass on, and he wanted to make sure that he kept reminding people, even after he's gone. He's reminding us this morning. Look what we have. Look what Christ has done for us. Let's carry the legacy on. Let's carry this on to the next person in life. How many people have you told about Christ? How many have you baptized in Christ? And you know how to be an evangelist. How many people have you just even asked to come to church? How many people have you even talked to about the Lord? Just to remind them. You know, we all different at different places in life. But we could do something for God, can't we? There's something you could do. Nothing else. You could send a letter or a card now and then to tell somebody we miss you. You know, that kind of thing. God put us here, and He's left us here for a reason, and that's to glorify Him. And to give Him the glory. And to give Him a voice. This is not a dead book. It's a live book. But you know, it's a dead book if you don't ever open it and do nothing with it. It's a book that will stir our heart and to make us the kind of people that God would be pleased with. And that's what we're here for. Now, Peter said one more thing here that I got to get across. He said, I want you to know something, though. He said, for we, talking about the apostles, he said, for we did not follow cunning devices, fables. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. See, there is a difference between the apostles and me and you. They actually walked with Christ. They walked with Him. They heard Him teach. They sat and ate with Him. They just had that connection. And He's the one who gave them the power and the authority to bring the message to the rest of us. And you see, Peter wanted us to know that you could bank on what he says. that you could believe what he says, because I heard it, the old saying is, straight from the horse's mouth. Now, I know Jesus wasn't a horse, but the idea is I heard it direct. Nobody come to me and told me about it. I heard it. He told me. I saw him. I saw him after, I saw him before he died. I saw him after he died. Remember in the upper room when all the, when the apostles were up there and they was, Jesus is gone, he's dead. He's dead. Huh? There he is. He stood right among them. And they said, huh? Can you imagine that? So Jesus said, look, I'm going away, boys. Let me give y'all a mission. A big mission at that. Y'all got to carry this to the whole world. Yeah. To the whole world. But you know what? The apostles are gone. No, they're not. Wait a minute. We're talking about Apostle Peter right here. He's still here. And he's telling us, I saw the Lord. I know what I'm telling you is a fact. But he went on to say, in verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor, talking about Jesus, honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the ecstasy of glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he heard these his voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. Remember when he went up on the mountain? And not only did they see him, but they even heard the Father's voice. Say this, especially when Jesus was baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I believe, who I sent. He is my Son. He is my Son. It's in I got to turn one more place. Wait a minute, hold on. Matthew 28. I said I wasn't going to do this. Says it right here, I think. Oh, boy. I got to hurry up because I'm going to be, well, I can't find it right offhand. Wouldn't you know it? Oh, Lord, I got all kind of, I got, oh, 28. Well, maybe I better move on. I ain't got much time here. 28. That's the wrong verse. I ain't going to worry about it. I do know one thing for sure, that we can believe these apostles that they saw Christ and they even heard the voice of God Almighty in heaven telling them that the Son, that they could believe in him and who he was. But the question comes, do you? You know, God has done a lot for us. He's done a lot. He stretched out his salvation for now 2,000 years. They're over, really. But one day, you know what he's going to do? He's not going to offer it no more. Won't happen. Remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. You want my salvation, you have to believe in Jesus as the Christ. If you really believe that, then you could come and get immersed. We got a Baptist. Come and be baptized. And get that condemnation of God lifted off. Because when you're baptized into him and raised to walk in that new life, them sins are forgiven and that Holy Spirit takes possession. That's what the gospel's all about. Puts us in a whole new life. Today you get that opportunity if you want it. We're gonna have we're gonna try a song again. Y'all want to sing again?